A-I-N-F-E-M-U.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio's look at technology from a blindness perspective. This week on Main Menu, we bring on Gordon Smith. He'll talk to us all about machine virtualization on the Macintosh, and he'll show us how he can switch between Tiger and Windows XP Professional on the Mac, among other things. During the second hour on Main Menu Live, we'll bring him on to talk to all of you all about Tiger and the Macintosh, and you can call in and ask him any questions that you may have. This week, the ACB Radio web production team has released the ACB Radio Tuner version 6.5. This new version has a number of enhancements, but most notably, support for the new ACB Radio World Stream. You can find out more information about this new tuner version by going to the website www.acbradio.org/tuner. Would you like to download the podcast feeds for Main Menu and Main Menu Live? We would love for you to do it. You can find out more information about how to do that by going either to www.acbradio.org/podcasts/mainmenu or www.acbradio.org/podcasts/mainmenulive. We also have an email list available for Main Menu listeners. You can find out more information about that by subscribing to the email list at main-menu-subscribe@googlegroups.com. That's main-menu-subscribe@googlegroups.com. There you can participate with users to talk about topics heard on Main Menu, or you can make suggestions for topics that you would like to hear on Main Menu. Well, without further ado, let's get started with this week's presentation from Gordon Smith, and then we'll come back in the second hour on Main Menu Live with Gordon Smith, and you'll be able to call in and ask him any questions that you may have.
Hello, everybody. My name is Gordon Smith, and I would like to talk to you tonight about virtualization and virtual machines, virtual computers. Before I demonstrate virtual computers, I think it's probably a good idea to discuss the concept of running virtual computers. A virtual computer is effectively a computer within a computer. So if you can imagine, you have your nice PC, and running in that PC you have a piece of software which in turn allows you to create a virtual computer. So your virtual computer has a virtual processor, virtual hard disk, virtual floppy disk, printer port, serial port, USB ports, FireWire ports, Ethernet adapter, and all of the other sort of things that you would have with a physical computer. So you may ask, what's the advantage? Well, the advantages are that you can then run multiple operating systems at the same time, quite literally at the same time. I guess the primary functional advantage would be if, for instance, you were beta testing software or developing software and you needed access to multiple operating systems. For example, you want to test in Windows 95, 98, Millennium Edition, 2000, 2003 Server, all the variants of XP Professional, XP Home, Vista, and so on. And it's far more cost effective to use virtual computers than it is to use physical computers for every operating system. With the release of the Intel dual core processors and the AMD dual-core processors came a new technology known as VTM and VT respectively. That is to say, Intel's implementation is known as VTM. AMD's implementation is simply VT. So VT and VTM extensions essentially support virtualization in hardware. That is to say, they allow the developer to isolate completely one virtual machine from the physical machine and from other virtual machines. In my case, I'm using an Intel based Apple Macintosh. This machine has an Intel Core 2 Duo running at 2.33 GHz. It has 2 GB of RAM and it has a 250 GB internal high capacity, high speed hard drive. It has 3 USB 2.0 ports, 2 FireWire ports, an Ethernet port and a wireless network port. It has Bluetooth and a 24-inch widescreen display with an ATI Radeon 1600 graphics adapter. Okay, so that's a brief summary of the hardware that I'm using. So the physical operating system, the host operating system, as it's often referred to, is Apple Mac Tiger 10.4.9. There are two main applications on the Apple Macintosh platform which support virtualization. One is called Parallels Desktop. That was probably the first virtualization platform to appear. The second one is written by a very well-established virtualization company called VMware Corporation, Virtual Machineware Corporation. VMware have been in the business of developing virtualization technology since 1996. In the early part of 2007, they released an application called Fusion. At least it's called Fusion at present because it's still in beta. It's in, I would think, probably the final stages of its public beta now, and it is a very stable product. So I want to talk briefly about both of those two applications before we go any further. Parallels Desktop, we'll deal with that one first because it's probably going to be quicker. Parallels is a very powerful piece of software. Its main problem is that it is not 100% or even 50% accessible to the voiceover user. This is very unfortunate because, as I said, it's a very powerful piece of software, and would we have access to it, it would certainly rival Fusion, if not beat it in a lot of ways. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to load up Parallels and show you what happens. Okay, so I've got VoiceOver running at the moment. I'm sitting on my Mac desktop, and let's see what happens if we're on
Finder.
Yeah, right.
Selected application.
Yeah, VoiceOver sometimes does this. It's
Parallels desktop.app.
There we are.
Selected open Finder item. Parallels desktop.app. Text. Parallels desktop. OS installation assistant. Dialog. New virtual machine. Parallels desktop. Window. OS installation assistant. Dialog.
Right, and that's as far as it goes. The rest of that is inaccessible completely. What it's asking me now is, do you want to install a new operating system? Because there isn't one installed currently in Parallels. As far as it's concerned, it's waiting for me to bring up a new operating system and create a new virtual machine. But unfortunately, no matter what I press, tab, the voiceover navigation commands, nothing happens. So, you know, that's next to useless. If you can get sighted assistance and get your operating system installed, then terrific, you know, you're sort of ready to go.
Finder. But
I've quit that now because I can't really go any further. So, let's demonstrate the other application, which is much more accessible.
Fusion. Selected application.
Okay, now I've got Fusion ready to run. I hope you can manage to understand the voice I use okay. I use a British voice, which is non-Apple. I find it, to me, it's the best speech synthesizer which exists on any computer platform. Okay, we're ready to run Fusion. So I'll now tell VoiceOver to open the Fusion application for me.
Open Finder item, Fusion, text, where Fusion, virtual machine library, window, blank.
Okay. I have one machine pre-configured, which you will see later. For the moment, though, I'm going to assume that I have no virtual machines set up, and I want to install Windows from scratch. I want to install Windows XP. To do that, I first need to create a virtual machine. In other words, I need to define the parameters of the virtual computer. So, let's show you how to do that. We'll walk through it and, you know, we'll see how it all works.
Download button. New button.
Okay, now I'm tabbing around the virtual machine dialog. You hit a download button. What that does is allows you to download a virtual machine pre-configured with custom applications from the virtual machine, from the VMware website. You can buy and try some pre-configured machines. There are some which are actually available for free, which contain open source software, as in Linux. But the vast majority are specific applications. For example, MySQL can be used in a virtual machine. However, the problem with that being, from our perspective, there is no accessibility. The majority of people just use Windows. So that's what we're going to do. I want to demonstrate the easy Windows install for you, show you how simple it is to actually install Windows. As I said, to do that we need to create a virtual machine.
New virtual machine assistant.
Right, we're now at the virtual machine installation assistant. Let's just have a little look at the screen.
Create new virtual machine. The virtual machine assistant will help you create a virtual machine. Virtual machines are self-contained portable computers that allow you to run Windows or other x86 operating systems side-by-side with Mac OS X with near-native performance. Once the virtual machine has been created, you will need to install an operating system from your own installation disk. To get started, click Continue.
Okay, I think that probably explains it better than I could. Hopefully you can understand that. It's telling me basically that it will now walk us through creating a new virtual computer and the installation of Windows. So here we go. Let's just click continue.
Go back. Continue button.
Continue. Here we go.
Microsoft Windows pop-up button.
Okay, it's now asking us which operating system we want to install. The default being Microsoft Windows. That's fine, because that's what we want. So I'm going to tab to the next button.
Windows XP Professional pop-up button.
Which is also fine. A pop-up button is what Windows users would think of as a combo box. Contains a list of items from which you can select.
Cancel. Go back. Continue button.
Okay, now I hit the continue button.
Windows XP Professional 2. Edit text.
Okay, now it's asking me to give the virtual machine a unique identifier name. Now I already have a Windows XP Professional installed. So I don't want to overwrite that one, obviously. So it's given me an alternative name. But I don't want to use that one. Let me just... Right, let me just get rid of that.
XSWDNIW.
Okay, I'm just going to call it X...
XXP...
Pro.
Pro.
Okay. XP Pro is the name of the operating system.
Virtual Machines. Pop up button.
Okay, Virtual Machines. What it's asking me here is give it a path where we want the virtual machine to be installed. A virtual machine hard disk is quite literally just a file which is stored on the hard disk of your physical computer. The advantage with doing this, as opposed to boot camp, which you may have heard of, is that when you define a virtual hard disk using Parallels or VMware Fusion, the hard disk is dynamic. In other words, when you set the maximum capacity of your hard disk doesn't start off as being your maximum capacity. If you set a boot camp partition and install Windows into a boot camp partition, then your partition is 160 gigabytes or whatever you set it at, and that's it, it doesn't change. If you do as I do and set the maximum hard disk capacity at something silly like 200 gigabytes, then great, that's your maximum capacity. But the actual hard disk itself, the actual file itself, contains, say, for argument's sake, 8 gigabytes of data. So your hard disk is 8 gigabytes in size. As you install more files, more data, your hard disk grows. And that's a far more efficient way of storing data for your Windows operating system to use than setting up an enormous partition and only using a fraction of it. So there's another advantage to virtual machines. So let's just carry on going through from where we were.
Cancel button.
Okay.
Virtual machines pop-up button.
Yeah, we're at the pass.
Go back. Continue.
Continue.
Button.
Okay.
8.00.
This is what I was talking about a moment ago. This is where you define the maximum capacity of your hard disk. The default is 8 gigabytes. But I don't want to use that because it's just too small. I'm going to change that.
Zero.
Change that, get rid of it.
Six, eight.
And I'm going to set it to 160.
160.00
gigabytes. There we are, that is the maximum capacity of the hard disk.
Incremental,
that is just a slider. If you don't want to use an edit box, which is obviously easy from the accessibility perspective, but there is a graphical image which shows up on screen at this point, and it reflects the amount of percentage necessary, recommended, required and available for your dynamic hard disk. And you can, as I said, override that. Now, that's what I've done, because I put the value in manually.
Button. Cancel.
Now, that button that you heard there, unlabeled button.
Button.
There we are. Is an advanced disk options button. That allows you to specify options such as, do you want to use a different physical hard disk, or do you want to allow the hard disk to be static? In other words, it will set up a 160-gigabyte partition from scratch. That, by default, is disabled, and that's the way I want it, because, as I've already explained, dynamic hard disks in this configuration are far better.
Go back. Continue.
Okay.
Button.
Now I'm going to hit continue.
Use easy install. Checked checkbox.
Now this is the really clever bit. It said use the easy install. Fusion will generate an unattended Windows installation for you, which you can use to completely automate the installation of Windows inside your virtual machine. So I'm going to leave that option checked because that's what I want to demonstrate to you.
Blank. Edit text.
Now, this is an edit box where you would put your name. So I'm going to do that now.
Gordon. Smith.
Gordon Smith. There we are.
Edit secure text.
Now it's asking for a password. So I'm going to put a password in. VoiceOver doesn't echo
edit
the password.
Edit secure text.
And it's asking for the password again.
Blank. Edit text.
And now we come to a field where it's asking for the product key for your Microsoft Windows operating system. So I have that currently copied into my clipboard, so I'm just going to paste that.
New line.
There we are. And
HD2Wide.
Right. Move to the end of it because there is a carriage return on the end that shouldn't be there. And let's have a look.
8.
Yeah.
HD2Wide.
As a
new line.
That's it. There's a carriage return which I needed to get rid of.
8.
There we are. It's gone. So now
enable file sharing. Checked checkbox.
Again, this is another clever function of Fusion. And what it does is it allows you to enable file sharing as a My Shared Folders item for a specified path on your host operating system's hard disk. That's very, very useful because it allows you to interchange data between the host and guest operating systems. You do need to be a little careful because obviously Windows itself introduces risks such as viruses, trojans, malware, other such things. And if your Mac partition is readable and writable, then theoretically some of your host operating system's files could be damaged, and that's obviously not particularly desirable. So you do need to use that option with care, or install sufficient protection within Windows, like a virus scanner.
Cancel. Go back. Continue button.
Now we're on continue.
Start virtual machine and install operating system now. Checked checkbox.
Okay, now we have the option here to either install the operating system now or to install it later. And just quit the configuration of the virtual machine. And I think what we'll do is I will uncheck that so that I can demonstrate to you the settings.
Use operating system.
Let me just
start virtual machine and install operating system now. Uncheck checkbox. Use operating system installation disk. Selected radio button.
Okay. It's asking me now if I want to use the operating system's installation disk or an image file. You can use an ISO image file and install Windows directly from there, which is quite nice. I am in the habit, and have been for years, of as soon as I buy a new CD containing software, I always back it up. Always. That's the first thing I do. When I get a new CD of software, it gets backed up to an image, and I keep those images in a safe place just in case anything happens to the physical media.
Use operating system installation disk image file. Radio button.
Yes, that's the other radio button, as I said, which allows you to use an image file.
None. Pop-up button.
None is the location of the image file. It's set to none because currently that option is deselected.
Cancel. Go back. Finish button.
Now we're on finish. There we are. Now
we're Fusion.
And now at the configuration editor, where I can set advanced options for this virtual computer. Now this is the interesting bit.
Expanded folder. System hardware.
Okay. Now this is the system hardware, which you can predefine.
Memory.
Memory. Now this is where you would configure the size of the memory options that you want to use in your virtual operating system. Now I want to change that because the default is 512 megabytes. Whilst adequate, it's not really ideal for Windows.
Menu button.
Okay.
Dash. image. Increasing the memory allocation of the virtual machine can improve performance, but will also reduce the performance of other running applications.
Yes, that's pretty obvious. What it's telling us is if you have multiple machines running, you need to be careful about how much memory you configure. But I never run more than one virtual machine at a time.
3.1% slider.
Now, that's a slider, and it's giving me the option. But if I keep moving down the screen, there is an edit box. There are some recommended, suggested minimum and maximum values for the memory configuration.
Recommended value. Recommended minimum. Recommended maximum. 256 MB.
So it's telling us that 256 megabytes is the minimum recommended value.
128 MB.
That is the minimum that will absolutely work, 128. But in my experience, Windows Vista struggles with that sort of memory configuration.
If lower, virtual machine may not start.
That's what it's telling us. If you set it to the very, very minimum, your virtual machine may not start.
1740 MB.
1740 is what it's telling us is the maximum allowable average based on my memory configuration.
If higher, memory swapping may occur.
Yes.
256. Edit text.
The edit text, here we are, is telling me that the memory is currently set for 256 megabytes. Now I'm going to change that.
6652.
I have a lot of memory in this machine, as I said before, 2 gigabytes. So I'm going to assign 1500 megabytes of memory to Windows. Nice healthy chunk of memory, and that leaves sufficient for Tiger, more than enough for Tiger to run.
Apply dimmed button.
Right, now the apply button is currently disabled. That usually happens.
Increment or...
I'm not too worried about that. If I move around the screen...
Apply button.
And come back to it. The apply button is now enabled because the virtual machine has now realised that I made a configuration change. So I'm going to apply that change.
Press outline.
And we're back. What VoiceOver calls an outline, we are back to the system hardware configuration screen.
Processes.
Now the next option in the list is processes. This machine has dual processes. You can tell Fusion how many processes, virtual processes, to assign, 1 or 2. The default is 1, but I like 2.
Menu button.
So I'm going to move...
Dash, I, image. This virtual machine is configured to use 1 virtual processor, default. Selected radio button, 1 of 2.
There you are.
2 virtual processes. Radio button, 2 of 2.
I need to select that.
Press 2 virtual processors. Radio button, 2 of 2.
That's now selected.
Apply button.
And the apply button is automatically there, active.
Press outline.
And we're back to the virtual hardware list.
Display.
The display, I don't really think there's much you need to change on this, except for one option.
Menu button.
And that is the graphics acceleration options. This version of Fusion can emulate DirectX 8.1 graphics acceleration. Now I tend to switch that on because sometimes it makes a difference.
Dash R image. Accelerate 3D graphics. Uncheck checkbox.
Turn that on.
Check. Accelerate 3D graphics. Checkbox. This option is currently experimental and supports limited DirectX 8.1 features on Windows XP Service Pack 2 virtual machines. For a list of games and applications that are known to work, refer to the release notes.
And there we are. It's telling you if you want to use this experimental feature, because as I said towards the beginning of this discussion, Fusion is currently in beta test.
Apply button.
And we'll apply that.
Press outline.
And we're back to the system hardware.
Battery.
Alright, battery. There is no battery on this computer, I don't think, but let's have a look at the option.
Menu button. Dash. Up image. Pass host power supply status to the guest. Uncheck checkbox.
There is no battery, so we'll leave that.
Apply dimmed buck. Pass host power supply status to the guest. Uncheck checkbox.
I tell you what, we'll turn that on and just see what happens.
Check. Pass host power supply status to the guest. Checkbox.
And there we are.
Apply button.
Apply.
Outline.
And we're back to the system hardware outline again.
Expanded. Folder. Removable devices.
Removable devices.
Ethernet.
Now this is where you can select between NAT configuration, bridged configuration, host only configuration, and custom. I never got the custom option to work. I have a feeling that in this beta test it's probably disabled. I'm very much looking forward to when that becomes enabled, because the Mac has two network adapters and I have two physical internet backbones, one on each adapter, and also my other Windows machines are on the other network, the wireless network. The cable network is currently not connected, so that when I install this version of Windows it won't be able to see the internet, which is unfortunate, but not exactly it's not going to cause us a problem. So we'll skip over that for now.
Floppy.
This is useful if you need to use floppy based software. What you can do is create an image of a floppy disk and put it in a predetermined path, and it will treat that image as drive A floppy, because obviously the new Macs do not have floppy drives. So what it does is it emulates one and lets you use an image.
Hard disk, it's 0, 0.
You can add, if you have multiple hard disks, you can add them as physical drives at this point. But there's only one installed here, so we'll leave that alone.
CD-ROM, ID 1, 0.
Again, CD-ROM, ID 1. There's only one physical CD-ROM installed, so we'll leave that alone. You can change that, however, to use an image file as your CD-ROM drive if you wish, instead of the physical CD-ROM which is installed in your machine. Again, that can be quite useful.
Sound adapter.
That is the sound device which allows you to use sound in the host and guest operating systems. VMware Fusion and the Parallels handle sound emulation incredibly well. You can literally have two screen readers running at the same time using the same sound device in two separate operating systems, and they don't interfere with each other. I never knew that to be the case on the PC. When I tried VMware Workstation in years gone by, it would never work. I could never get the sound devices to work. I had to use two physical sound devices and switch one off in the host operating system so that the guests could have it. But that's not necessary any longer.
OOSP controller.
OOSP. It pronounces USB a little strangely. I haven't got around to changing the pronunciation. Again, that is where your USB ports are. And by default it's enabled, so I want them enabled.
Expanded folder, shared folders.
Shared folders, that is where you can allow or deny access to specific portions of your host operating system's hard disk, which I explained earlier.
Expanded folder, OOSP devices.
Yeah, USB devices, there aren't any, because I currently have no USB devices plugged in. And that's it. Essentially, that is your virtual computer configured. So I'm now going to close that window.
Close XP Pro window. 13 items. Shut down dimmed button.
Yep. Now I am ready to install Windows. The machine is currently shut down, but I won't start it up.
Start up button.
Okay, I'm ready to start up the Windows operating system, and what will happen is when I start the operating system, it will boot from the CD and begin the Windows installation automatically.
Press start up button.
I have now started the operating system, and there goes the CD. There we are. Windows is now being installed. Simple as that. The machine is now installing Windows. And it will keep going until the installation is finished. Then I can start customising it to my liking. Obviously, because I need accessibility, the first thing I would do is run Narrator, that awful screen reader from Microsoft. Run that. Install the VMware tools, which are necessary in order to make the display adapter work properly, and one or two other hardware devices work properly. And then install my screen reader, and then start to configure Windows. So it really is very easy to set up, use, and install a virtual machine. My Mac is still running fine. If I wanted to, I could open any number of applications, really. And Windows will continue to install. So what we'll do is we will let that install, and I'll come back to you in just a few minutes' time once Windows is installed and demonstrate using my pre-configured version how smoothly it all works. I hope at least some of that has proven useful. So let me go into my recording window, because believe it or not, I am recording this demonstration on the same machine as I'm installing Windows on, which just shows you how well the Mac can handle multitasking. MacOS is so flexible, multitasking is incredibly easy because it was designed from the ground up to handle this kind of situation. And Apple have done a very, very good job on their operating system, I must say. In my experience, it is a lot more stable than Windows. That said, Windows under virtualization is more stable, believe it or not, than Windows on my physical machine, which runs nothing but Windows. The benchmark that I get from the virtual machine is just incredible under Fusion. It's just incredible. VMware needs to be congratulated in every respect for the way that they have thought through the entire Fusion project. They are taking full advantage of the virtualization hardware within the Intel dual core processor series, and they are applying the virtualization in an incredibly stable, friendly, efficient and effective manner. I have spoken to the developers of PowerLaws Desktop, and I attempted to engage them in dialogue with regard to accessibility, but as soon as I mentioned accessibility, a wall of silence appeared. Everything just went very, very quiet. Which, again, I find a little unfortunate. There are a lot of myths going around concerning the Macintosh. It's not my purpose at the moment to demonstrate VoiceOver. It's not my purpose to demonstrate other software such as text editors, CD writing software, CD ripping software, audio players, etc., etc., all of which exist. Within the last 12 months, accessibility on the Mac has improved dramatically. Apple themselves are finally getting their act together with regards to accessibility. iTunes is now, I would say, probably 95% accessible. In fact, iTunes on the Mac is infinitely more usable than iTunes under Windows. Hopefully, Apple will address the accessibility problems under Windows in due course. They are aware of them. And hopefully they will do something about it. It would be lovely to have iTunes available under Windows. One of the things that attracts me to the Mac, actually, is the ability to walk up to a machine, any machine, not have to install anything in order to make it speak. All I do is literally press two keys and up comes speech and I have access. And I can work in the same way, more or less, as the sighted user would work. And when I've finished with the computer, I just shut the speech down and the sighted user has their computer back as they left it. That's one thing which really does appeal to me about the Mac. Okay, Windows has now installed and I'm ready to log on to it.
Where Fusion?
Switch back to the window where Windows is installed. I need to set that to a full screen display.
Toggle full screen scroll area.
There we are. We're now in full screen mode. You need to click the mouse inside that window in order, there we are, to bring up full screen. And narrator should come up. It has indeed. Quiet, but you may not be able to hear that, I don't know. But there we are, there's narrator come up, and VMware Fusion's install has completely installed Windows XP from the ground up. With no sighted assistance, no nothing. I just, you know, give it the parameters, give it the product key, etc., as you heard, and away it went and did it. Okay, so now we need to sort of show you what the thing is like in actual use.
Damn, boys, not push, damn, exit, push.
So, what we'll do, for the purposes of this demonstration, is
button.
Bring Fusion back up and close down Windows, because there's a quick shutdown key.
Shut down Gist.
There we are.
Interact with dialogue for XP Pro. When right. A virtual disk is fragmented, affecting the virtual machine's performance.
Be quiet. It's telling me that the Windows disk is fragmented. In actual fact, it's not, but
image. Avert. Never should. OK, but press right. OK.
There is a button there, never to show
closing
that again.
Dialogue.
Which I should probably have enabled. But the guest operating system is now shutting down. What I want to do is now run my pre-installed version of Windows. On the same machine, I now have two versions of Windows. So let me close this virtual machine.
Close virtual machine library.
And I'm back to the library again. So if I cursor up and down the library
table,
there we are.
XP Pro dot Murray.
That's the version of Windows I've just installed.
Windows XP Professional dot Murray.
And that is my pre-configured version of Windows. I'm going to run that.
Run button. Windows XP Professional window.
I'm going to toggle that into full screen mode.
Toggle full screen scroll area.
And click the mouse so that I'm ready when Window Eyes comes up, which is my screen reader of choice. I will be able to put my password in and then demonstrate how easy it is to switch between macOS and Windows. The CD-ROM from the previous installation of Windows is still in the drive, so it's powered that up, because Windows does check the drives and things as it starts up. As you may be aware, all versions of Windows do that. I just haven't removed the CD. Perhaps I should have done. But Windows is starting. It's taking a little longer than it usually would because of the CD.
WindowEyes 6.1.
Okay, there is WindowEyes come up. It's now ready for me to insert my password, which I have just done. And there's Windows. Oh, it's complaining about something. Something it can't see.
WindowEyes 6.1. Clipmate Classic. Clipmate Explorer.
And there we are. There's WindowEyes. And Windows. Now then, if I go to my desktop, which it's probably getting a little bit irritated because the network isn't there.
Desktop, there TFT, no selected
I have a time check application running, and it's probably complaining.
Windows Live Messenger.
Let's have a look.
Mobile, expanded.
Oh my goodness, that has never worked before. I'm gobsmacked.
Chris, the short arm of the law.
There we are. That's one of my Windows Live Messenger contacts. That has never worked before.
Online. Expanded.
But this time, for some reason, it has. I'm incredulous. Yeah, I'm absolutely incredulous. That has never worked before without the Ethernet cable. I've learned something there. I made the change to my network configuration before starting the install, and it would appear that rather than disabling it, as I'd intended to do, I've actually sorted the problem out, which I've been fighting with for some time. So there's a bonus for me.
Desktop, TFT, no selected item.
There's my desktop, TFT being what I call my computer. Now, if I want to alt-tab around between windows...
Windows Live Messenger, online, expanded.
There we are, there's Windows Live Messenger.
Desktop, TFT.
I'm back to my desktop, because that's all that's open at the moment. If I open that...
Space, TFT, Windows Explorer, no selected item, 3 floppy A.
Right, if I just... There we are, you see it's seeing a floppy, because it thinks there is a floppy there. I need to, if I want to use a floppy, predetermine a path and locate an image there.
V, VRMP, FPP, ND.
Okay, now I want to eject that.
Pointer rooted to list view.
So I will root the mouse pointer.
Right.
To
context menu.
And eject that CD. That probably wasn't a good idea. There we are.
J.
Have to be careful.
VRMP, FPP, ND.
There we are. The CD is now ejected. The Windows CD, which I will now put away back in its little box. And voila, we have Windows installed by a blind person, completely without assistance, inside of a virtual machine, configured and ready to go. So let me show you how easy it is now to switch back to Tiger. Tiger is still running. All I have to do is press the command key, which is, as I said, where the alt key is on a Windows keyboard, in conjunction with the control key.
Shut down button.
And Tiger comes up again. Windows is now running in letterbox mode. So I can now switch.
Sound Studio. Finder.
There we are.
Finder.
And I'm back in Tiger
again. Use Writer Express.
Okay, again, Windows is now running. Windows is still running in letterbox mode. I can switch back to it.
Where Fusion.
By switching like that.
Windows XP Professional window.
Okay. Then go to back to full screen mode.
Scroll area.
And that's Clipmate, which I use. And there is my desktop.
Desktop. TFT.
There we are. I'm back into Windows. So I'll now shut Windows down in the usual way.
Start menu. Shut down.
There we are.
Windows Live Messenger. TFT. TFT.
Windows is shutting down.
TFT.
Bye-bye, Windows. There it goes. As you can hear, it's absolutely stable. There's no lag. There is no interaction that should be there between
shut down dimmed button.
Oh yeah, between Fusion and the operating system. So I now close Fusion
button.
Yeah,
button.
I'm still in Fusion, so close that
Finder.
And there we are. There's Fusion, the emulator gone, and I'm now back into native Tiger mode. You can cut and copy text as well between the various guest and host operating systems. So all in all, it gives you a lot more flexibility than Bootcamp, and I believe that this is probably only possible with this degree of efficiency when you're using a Mac as the host. I really believe that, based on past experience of trying to run virtual machines on a PC. So I hope that was of some interest. I will be very happy to answer questions, if anybody has any questions, on the subject of virtualization, or even the Mac in general, because I'm a big fan of the Mac. I do use Windows as well, quite a lot, but I'm a very, very big fan of the Mac, and I believe that it's in the interests of blind people in general to work with Apple and other software developers to improve accessibility. There's always room for improvement. Even under Windows, there's room for improvement. And I believe that the onus is on us to work with these organisations in a constructive and hopefully productive manner. Thank you for listening. If you would like to ask me any questions, maybe Jeff might arrange a chat session on main menu, in which case I'll be happy to come on and answer questions. Or you can contact me via email. The address is Gordon, Golf Oscar Romeo Delta Oscar November Gordon at tft-bbs.co.uk. That's Gordon at tft-bbs.co.uk. And I'll be happy to answer any questions I can. Thank you for listening.
That brings this week's edition of Main Menu to a close. We would like to sincerely thank Gordon Smith for coming on to Main Menu this week to talk to us all about machine virtualization on the Macintosh. He'll be coming up in just a few minutes live on Main Menu Live to talk to all of you further, all about the Mac and machine virtualization. Coming up next week on Main Menu, we'll hear a review of JAWS for Windows 8.0 Public Beta 2 on Windows Vista by Rick Harmon. On Main Menu Live next week, we bring on a representative from GW Micro to talk to us all about the VoiceSense. That's what's coming up next week. Stay tuned, everyone, for Main Menu Live, where you'll be able to call in and ask our guests any questions that you may have, all about machine virtualization and the Macintosh. We'll see all of you next week on another brand new edition of Main Menu and Main Menu Live.